FCUM Radio, FC and Community United.
I'm Simon Yowd, senior coach at Skills FC, and this is my daughter.
I'm Connie Yowd, senior female coach at Skills FC.
How did you get involved with Skills FC? And
We've done lots of voluntary work over the years, bits and bobs, helping out the local landlord mostly, Uwa Valley, on our estate. We were approached by a local councillor and the local vicar, of all people, to try and sort of fill the void. There's a big void, you probably find similar here, to be honest, in Wythenshawe. There's a big void of people that want to play sports or football but can't afford the sort of £20-30 a month that a football club will charge. And they still want to play, they still want to be there with their mates every week. So we sort of, they asked us, could we help them sort of tackle that? And we started off with an hour and a half project a week for about 8 weeks. The numbers just were ridiculous. We went from sort of 8 on the first day up to 40 on the second day. The third week we were up to sort of 45-50. So we sort of got an idea straight away that this is a bit more of a need than we anticipated, and it could sort of go really well. So it's just snowballed from there, to be honest, with a few local schools, events for local providers. It's gone really well.
Yeah, like you were saying, for the kids,
yeah,
that they are not able to afford them,
yeah,
the normal fee that they pay in other places.
Yeah.
So like yours is free.
Yeah. Some sessions. There's a big problem with facilities in our area where we work. There's a big lack of them, and there's only really the secondary schools that have them. Unfortunately, they won't provide them for free. So some of the sessions we charge £1. It's a minimal charge, and it's a drop in the ocean. We have 20 at the futsal session, which is £20, but it costs £36 for the room for the hour. So we're still losing money, but we want as many kids as possible to sort of get involved. Some will lead on and they'll join clubs. Some will just carry on. We've got a couple of kids that have been with us for 2 years. They don't do anything else. They just come to our sessions and they want to play with the mates, and that's it. But being affordable, that's a key fact. They wouldn't be playing if it wasn't £1 or it wasn't free. There's no sort of option for them to play anywhere locally. So I know it sounds strange, but when you give a service for free, quite often it devalues it. A lot of people look at it and think, can't be very good, it doesn't cost anything, which sounds ridiculous, I know, but we found that a lot at the beginning. So for the indoor sessions where we're paying for a venue, we charge just £1. For anything outdoors, totally free.
So what does that mean? Do you use to generate them? Do you get income?
It's grant funding. Everything's grant funding, everything we do. So okay. We're doing as
many
much
government
funding bid writing as we do coaching, to be honest, just to keep ticking over. But we could quite easily make money and charge £4-5 a session, like the clubs or the borough sports providers do, but that's defeating what we set out to do, really is. We want to get as many people and as bigger age range as doing sport as we can. I mean, we've looked at this project that you do here and sort of, can we take something from that sport-wise and do something similar in, say, a Western Affect the Unemployed? We're looking at stuff for the over 50s at the moment. There's a big thing on slow football and, well, sorry, it's called walking football now, and walking netball. You just take the running side out of the sport, which then allows sort of 45, 50 plus age bracket to join in quite comfortably. And it's been popular, Sunderland, Birmingham, there's quite a few cities around England where it's really took off. So we're looking at sort of that age bracket, the higher end of the age bracket as well now, just as many people as we can. There's health outcomes, there's social outcomes, comes from the confidence and the being part of something and the belonging. It boosts the self-esteem, and they can take that on into day-to-day life. It's not just about sport.
Can I just ask you,
yes,
how would other kids become involved with your sessions?
We have a Twitter, a Facebook and a website. So everything we do goes onto that, and that's sort of weekly updated and posted. Most of the members sort of follow that, or the parents do. And the schools that we work in, they promote what we do out of school as well, so they send sort of emails home every couple of weeks just to update people. So it is mostly contained sort of in the Sale West area.
We have the big posters as well on some of the schools,
yeah,
don't we?
The vinyl banners. So. Again, we try and do everything local. We're local. All the coaches that we've trained up over the couple of years are from where we live. All the businesses that we sort of interact with that print our posters and things like that, they're all from the same area. We try and sort of keep everything community if we can.
Have you got any plans to get involved within other communities?
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to. We're looking at it, but it's in the communities where it's needed most. It's quite you tend to find the same as we have at ours. There's a lack of facilities and things like that, which makes it difficult. I mean, we just looked at some work in Broadheath, which is probably very, very similar area to where we live, and there's no lighting at all. So they want to affect the ASBs at night, but there is no lighting on the park to be able to do that. So it's sort of, no one will pay for the lighting. We've looked into renting it, and it would unbelievable amount of money. I mean, you're talking of sort of 10 grand, so you can put 2-hour sessions on once a week. It's ridiculous. So although the FA have announced this last couple of weeks, I think, that they're going to look at putting more money into urban areas like where we live, like Wivenshaw, like Broadheath, places like that, where the facilities are needed more. I think there is a fund at the moment, but it tends to go out to sort of big football clubs so they can build a new clubhouse, or they can build themselves a new AstroTurf pitch, which isn't really helping affecting areas like where we live. So.
And you mentioned futsal. I was involved in the World Cup in 2004, which was held in Manchester. And that was for blind players. Do you have any facilities to get involved with kids with disabilities?
Yeah, I mean, our sessions are open to everyone, and we will try and keep everyone in the same session without segregating them if we can. A lot of the stuff we do in the schools, the SSE classes are sort of intermixed with the mainstream classes. There's no sort of separation. And we've had some good results with that, to be honest, particularly confidence from one or two of them.
Yeah.
Disabilities, we don't specifically have a disability session at the moment, but we are quite lucky where we live. In that sense, there's two or three really good clubs that sort of do a lot for that group of people, so it's not too bad. But we're open to do anything, really. If there's a need, then we'll try and put it on if we can. Everything we do, we put out to the community first. So there's a local website, there's our websites, Twitter, Facebook. For example, we run a netball session, and we ask the community, right, ladies, girls, we ask them, what do you want? There's not much going on for you in the area at the minute. What do you want to put on at night?
A lot of them.
It came back ladies, but it was all netball, but it was all the mums, not the kids as we were expecting. So now we put on a session for the ladies once a week. They come and play netball. It's not huge numbers, 15, 20 ladies a week, that's their session.
But it's still something that other communities aren't offering, isn't
it? And the ownership's with them. They've decided that's what they want, and they've helped us sort of put it together as we've gone along. Because, I mean, you've played at a good level netball, but I haven't got a clue when it comes to netball. But we've sort of helped each other, and it's pretty much sustainable now. It's on every week. A few of them have put a team from that into a league in Stockport and had a little run in that. So everything we do, really, we sort of put out to the community. If that needs that, then we'll try and put it on. We won't say we'll talk about it. We'll just try and put it on. It's not always successful, but you've got to try. Communities like this, like ours, places like that, they've had too many years of people promising them things and not delivering. Because we'll just go back and talk about it, and we'll go back and talk about it. And nothing ever gets done. So we're just quite proactive like that. We just want to put it on. And we'll try it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, well, we've tried. So it's just distraction. They need something to do. If you have something for them to do, something for them to feel part of and belong and have a bit of pride, we've seen in our area, in their estate, then a bit more pride, it makes the estate a better place. It does have a knock-on effect within the community, not just the sport. So definitely. Sorry.
So what day and time of the week is your season on?
We do three dinner times a week at one school and another at a separate school, all within the same area. We do two after-school clubs, and then we have four or five of our own sessions that we put on. So it's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday dinner time. We do Monday and Wednesday after school, and then pretty much through the week, bar Sundays, there's a session on every night of the week. The futsal, which is absolutely brilliant, I absolutely love it. Bought right into that the last couple of years. We do two or three of them. We're starting a men's one in 2 weeks as well now, because there's been quite a demand from the dads now. They've got the netball. Son's coming to football. Where's ours? So again, it's what they've asked for, so it's quite easy to put on something like that. It's most of the stuff in the evening, like the netball, the futsal for the adults, it's pay and play. So there's very little coaching. Sort of turn up, we organise it from that point on, and everyone just pays the money, and they just want to release, they just want to play football for hours.
So if I want to get involved in coaching side of what you do at Skills FC, I'm from a rugby background, is there any opportunities to actually get
involved.
Yeah, get involved and learn a new skill myself and actually get involved in teaching.
Well, like I say, every coach we have has come out of our community. So it's been, we've had sort of 17, 18-year-olds that have been that bit of a void after leaving school. We've had a couple of 40-year-olds. We've had sort of every age in between. And because it's mostly, well, it's all volunteering, we get sort of people coming in for little chunks of time and then they'll go on to something else. So we've had quite a few coaches come through. But again, they've all come from our community. Most of them have started with very little or no qualifications, and we've worked with them, over a period of time, put them through a coaching course.
We
won't sort of throw anyone in. Yeah. We work in teams, which is a little bit different to how most coaches work. So there'll always be, in each group of children, there'll always be at least two coaches so they can work together. So if one's dealing with something, there's still one watching the group. And that allows us then to put the new trainees, if for example yourself, if you were coming in, with an experienced coach, and get used to that sort of process first. Once they go on the course then, they're a bit more aware, they're a bit more understanding of everything, and it makes it a bit easier for them. Because some of the coaching courses, particularly once you get past the level one, can be quite intimidating for someone that's not been in that situation, that's not used to the coaching and the room full of people with opinions. So we tend to make sure that they're mentored a bit first. Once they're ready, then we'll put them through. And it makes it easy for the person as well, the coach. They're not thinking of all other things. They can just concentrate, go there, do what they need to do.
Do I have any events?
Yeah. We started off with this hour and a half a week for 8 weeks, and then it just went mental. It really did. We've had people. We had to cover. We're doing an equality event now for the voluntary sector grants that the council run. And we were just asked to cover for the day, and someone had let them down, and that sort of snowballed now, isn't it? There's an event. We work with the local schools to bring, again, there's a school where we are called Manor High School, which is a special needs school for behavioural issues, social issues, things like that. They run an event now once a term where all the mainstream sort of schools bring their classes and SSE classes, and they come and all mix together. So we have sort of six schools, all the kids go into a big pot, and we sort out X amount of teams out of that, so there may be a couple of kids from each school on each team, so they all mingle together. And then they do different sports, three or four
different
sports.
Is it a big group or a small group?
It's all small. We try not to do anything more than sort of five-a-side, if we can. I mean, we're usually at the end of a session, we'll let them have a big game, because that's what the kids want. But it's literally the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Everything we do is small-sided, which allows... I mean, the benefits to the kids are massive. More time on the ball, and then so more confidence, more improvement in their ability, everything. So everything's small-sided. We never go bigger than sort of 4v4, 5v5. I just think the bigger group you go, the less time you tend to find the kids get on the ball. And you could have the best player there, but he's shy, and he's not getting any time on the ball because of that. And that won't, his ability, his football won't come through then. When they're in that situation, people tend to stick to what's safe. I know I can do this without sort of trying anything new. This is comfortable. Yeah. And they can flatline a lot. So if you keep it small-sided, you tend to bring a few more touches at the ball for them. More time on the ball will lead to more confidence. They'll try more things. It's like I say, once you get to sort of 7-a-side, 9-a-side, like club football, then you tend to get 3 or 4 players that will play around everyone else. Mm. So they might have 20, 30, 40 touches in a 15-minute game, whereas some of the other children might only get 3 or 4. So the smaller sided you make it, and it's decision-making as well, particularly with the 5, 6, 7-year-olds. They look up and there's 8 people. It's like,
what do I do?
If you keep it to sort of 3s and 4s, then it's you, you or you. It's a lot easier. Yeah. And yet you're encouraged better decision-making then. And again, confidence and things like that will rise. They feel good because of that.
Are you actually involved in a league, or is it just totally for...
We don't have any teams in leagues. We work sort of with a few of the local clubs, so if players want that, which we do fine, we have players come to us, they've lost all interest with league football, fed up with the manager, fed up with the coach, don't like the team, and all sorts of different reasons. And we've had quite a few that after 6 months have sort of got that love for the game back, if you like. So we've funneled them off to a different club, different staff. We work with 2 or 3 that we know the coaches were all right. They work on a similar sort of ethos to us, so we'll send them back into those clubs rather than do it ourselves. But that keeps us neutral from it all then. we want to just be centred on sort of community development and just about the football really, and then the outside benefits of that to the community and not get involved in all that really.
If a child was to offend, would they be off the scheme, or do you have things in place in case that happens? Would you have like mentors or sort of say to you, well, come on, let's see what's going on?
We try, because particularly sort of with the groups that we're working with a lot, we try our best not to exclude anyone. And I think, to be honest, in 2 years, there's only one child that springs to mind that we've had to bar from the sessions. That's it. We work with a lot of difficult children, and there's a lot of social issues and psychological issues particularly. I mean, the FA work now to a, I don't want to bore you, sorry, but a four-corner model. Out of each session or each group you work with, you should have outcomes in all four corners, which is physical and technical, which you expect with sport and football, but also psychological and social. I mean, it's no good having Wayne Rooney if he can't mix with his teammates. It's no good having Van Persie if he's passing the ball at the wrong time. So it's all important, but we work mainly in the social and psychological side with the groups that we work with. It's mostly sort of respect, fair play, self-esteem, confidence, things like that. And they, I feel, well, we feel, they sort of carry on back out into the community then, and it has an effect there. It's not just the sport or the football.
We've had kids that have come that have been like, had really bad behaviour and then they've had time with us, and that even the parents in school, they've said how much of improvement they've made.
And one
just
or two
from coming to the session. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, just to agree, one or two of them are on that road now, that they've, we're mentoring them to be coaches. But the one lad particular started was probably the worst behaved child that we had in any session. But he's come through that, and now he's sort of following the path that.
Yeah, because he's been given that little bit of responsibility and faith.
Yeah,
it's brought him
that, exactly that. It's that faith. Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's someone believing in it. That's all it took. Yeah. Just someone to believe in him. I'm not criticising. I'm not putting down. And it's took a while. That's took a while. About a year and a half.
It's worth it in the end.
But exactly, the results are there now. So it doesn't. If you affect one child in that way in all that 2 years, then we've done something positive.
Done your job, that's brilliant.
So what do you do on a daily basis to get the club going?
Lots of stuff for free, to be honest. We went out into the schools and said, right, what do you need? What do you need? Because primary school particularly, the PE in this country is not very good. I think the government have identified that in the last sort of 12 months or so. So we've sort of concentrated on, with the younger ones with football coaching, we work on ABCs, agility, balance, coordination, speed, which is sort of general life skills as well as general PE, I suppose, not just football. So we tailored sessions for the primary schools around that, really. So it's more of a PE session, working on those sort of things.
Apart from grant, which is the main source of your finance, what if somebody from the local community want to help with funds? Are they welcome?
Really, because like as explained before, you know, we leak money, we don't make money. So particularly having to pay for venues everywhere. Anything we can do to sort of put more sessions on them. If there was more back in there, we could do more. So it would always be welcome.
Yeah.
And the same with, as you were asking before about maybe expanding into other areas, that would require some decent funding from certain council level at least. So we're always open. The more we can do, the more people are affecting. That's what we're trying to do.
So we're coming to the end of the interview now. What are the actual plans for the future?
Just really, just to keep doing what we're doing, expanding on the pathway that we're on, affecting more age groups, more people. Ideally, now I'm quite excited about the project that we're looking at with FC United about working with the unemployed, and we're looking at sort of projects for the 16 to 18 bracket that have to be doing things now. We have a college sixth form. There's a bit of a void with that age group in our area as well, people that are sort of stuck in between, not doing anything. So we just want to keep growing. I really love the community aspect of it. I'm not interested working at United or whatever. Not that it's going to happen, but it's not where we're focused. No. We're not trying to do what we're doing to go on a higher level of coaching almost. We love what we do in the community, and we want to keep doing that. And the more we can do, the better, to be honest.
Yeah, well, thanks for both of you.
Thank you. Very interesting questions.
Thank you. FC UM Radio, FC and Community United.